The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, as you've been hearing on the news headlines, the National Children's Hospital is facing further delays. Our reporter Josh Crosby has been following this and also been looking ahead at the staffing plan, or really the lack of a workforce plan. Morning, Josh.
Good morning, Pat.
So what's the latest we're hearing?
So just in the past 40 minutes, we've been told that the date for completion has been pushed to February of next year. It was meant to be completed on the 29th of October this year, but the National Paediatric Hospital Development Board is telling the Public Accounts Committee this morning, right now it's ongoing, that in BAM's latest monthly progress report, the developer has indicated a further delay. And there's no data to confirm that February is definitive. So an opening...
Yeah, I bet you they'll accelerate this because it's an election coming. They'd want to turn the key, wouldn't they?
Everything is politics, Pat. Yeah. And an opening for spring or summer of next year is gone, and August is looking at the earliest. I was speaking with the chair of the Public Accounts Committee, Brian Stanley, last night. He said it appears the board doesn't have the capability or the necessary levers to hold the committee to account. We can also see from the information that's been provided this morning that BAM has submitted 2,782 claims.
Yeah, now they can be tiny things, like we're moving a door from, you know, 2 metres down the corridor because of a machine or something. That's a claim.
Yeah.
We're moving a light switch from outside the operating theatre to in the waiting area. That's a claim. Do you know? Everything costs money.
Everything costs money. It all adds up.
So more delays expected. What about the workforce plan or how they intend to staff the place? Because they will need more staff.
Yes, this is it. So the HSE and Children's Health Ireland will want to put the shoe down and get hiring, because right now the current staff I've been meeting with, they're being left in the dark when it comes to any workforce plan. And remember, Pat, this hospital require a workforce of around 5,000 people. So we know the plan is to move the staff from current Children's Health Ireland hospitals and merge the paediatric hospitals over to the new facility. If you take Crumlin Children's Hospital, the overall workforce in April was 2,422. Then in Temple Street, there was an overall employment of 1,398 last month. And there were 325 staff working at the Children's Health Ireland facility in Talla. A total of 4,145, but they won't be truly accurate figures of what will transfer over. Only this week, the Irish Paediatric Critical Care Audit National Report has been published, which is advising for a workforce plan to be addressed as soon as possible. I took a visit over to Crumlin Children's Hospital, where there are 23 critical care beds. Temple Street has 9. And I met with the clinical lead of the audit, Associate Professor Martina Healy. And Professor Healy was able to show me around the current ICU ward and pointed out what is required for the layout they have in Crumlin and what staffing they need for such a design. But Professor Healy says that due to the new hospital having singular private rooms, they will need additional staff.
So the plan would be that we're going to move to the new hospital and that there is place there for 42 critical care beds. We're currently staffed, as you can see, between the two units for 32 beds. I know you've walked around this unit and you can see that a lot of the spaces are big, 25 metres squared, but are very much open, and there is a direct line of sight of the children who are on ventilators and on pumps and so on. So the difference between where we're currently at, and the same goes for Temple Street, is that we will be moving to a unit where every room is a single room behind a glass door. So that does have repercussions for staffing. And we know that every room being a single room without pods of rooms together increases our staffing requirements by at least a third. Do they all have to be single rooms behind closed doors, or do we have to think about some model whereby, you know, if you are going to run that sort of system, there is automatically an increased staffing, so resources and everything is aimed at having that in place before you open?
When it comes to a workforce plan, have you been privy to anything here, or have your team been informed of any details when it comes to training or transitioning, transferring over?
So I think one of the problems that we've had really is there isn't a definitive date for the handing over of the keys to the hospital. So a lot of the work goes on after the keys are handed over. And so we haven't done this yet. So in a way, I suppose we don't quite know what our requirements are going to be. Having said that, there are very clear standards for staffing for critical care.
Studying other models in different jurisdictions, like how much of a lead in time would you see for something like this?
Yeah, so I suppose you're hoping that the new hospital, you know, will engender a sense of excitement about a brand new building with everything new and so on that would attract new staff. And I suppose one of the recommendations from the NOCA annual report was that this is put in force as soon as possible so that whatever date it is, that we are able to recruit.
Well, it sounds like a lot of work to do yet, and we're nearly halfway through 2024.
We're just the frontline workers, guys. We're the drones. We do the work. We're in here at night time. So we just call out what the requirements from a clinical perspective.
But in operation by next summer?
So from our perspective, I'd say that we currently wouldn't be in a space to do that.
That's the clinical lead of the Irish Paediatric Critical Care Audit National Report, Martina Healy. So, Josh, they have been told very little, given very little information in terms of recruiting. So you've been digging around. What have you been told?
Well, unfortunately, Pat, this is the crux of this. The HSE and Children's Health Ireland are not really forthcoming with any plans to either the staff or the public, such as our team here on the programme. We've contacted the HSE multiple times and were directed to ask CHI. It took a few attempts by the team, but finally got a response from Children's Health Ireland, and I was told it is currently engaged in a process with the HSE to finalise the workforce for the new Children's Hospital. The Department of Health then told us that the HSE is reviewing proposals by CHI to update the workface plan. CHI confirmed that staff will be transferring from the existing CHI hospitals, we knew that, over to the new hospital, but it says this will ensure that all the current services will continue to be delivered in the new hospital. When I asked about the total staff needs or a breakdown of departments, I was told they cannot provide this as they're still finalising the workforce. And look, in no way am I saying it's an easy task to set up what's been described as a state-of-the-art hospital, but what we're highlighting today is just the lack of clarity around how they intend to staff the place.
We ask very straightforward questions. The total number of staff that will need to be recruited, no answer there. How they plan to move staff from the current hospitals to the new hospital, no answer to that. How training will be completed in the new facility while they're still working in the old facility, no answer to that. The number of new consultants they need to employ, no answer to that. They gave us vague, waffly stuff about funding and all the rest.
Yeah, but we're being left in the dark, but it's even more concerning for the staff on the ground. So to hear what it's like for the workers, I met with the sector organiser of SIFDU's Health Division, John McCamley.
Well, our members have raised quite a number of concerns around the opening of the new Children's Hospital, mainly around staffing. We've tried to engage with management on quite a number of occasions to try to determine the level of staffing for each of the grades that we represent. And while engagement is ongoing, there certainly is a view that we need more information. We need some clarity in relation to the exact staffing numbers for a number of grades, how departments are going to function, obviously combining two departments, where is the structure, what is the structure going to be. And I think all those things do need to be resolved before there's an actual move. So there are some of the issues. There's also issues around outsourcing.
And does that sense of uncertainty, does it kind of evolve then into frustration then if there's not a clear plan in place?
Well, certainly, obviously, we've had a long road in relation to our negotiations with management. As we get nearer to the time, there is, you know, a heightened sort of sense of, you know, concern that a number of things haven't been done or haven't been carried out. We would like to see some real cast iron sort of numbers, particularly around staffing. It hasn't been helped by the fact that obviously we have a national recruitment pause at the moment where we have quite a number of vacant positions in a number of grades. That has led to a lot more unease with members because of that recruitment pause. That does raise concerns around safety, does raise concerns about workload.
Do you see it opening for summer 2025?
At this stage, I think I can only believe what I'm told in relation to what has opened. The most important thing is getting it right from day one.
So you're still holding out, you'll wait and see.
Yeah, we'll still see in relation to when hopefully it does open, but there needs to be proper engagement before we can enter the new centre.
Now that's John McCamley from SIFDU's Health Division. The workers on the ground are calling for clarity and engagement. What's the minister saying?
Well, we did put in a request to see if he'd come on the programme to explain some of the matters raised in this report, but we were told he was unavailable. However, all was not lost, as our colleague Barry White was at a marking yesterday and he put it to him what staff have been telling us about the lack of clarity, and he asked about any workforce plan. Minister Donnelly is adamant that 6 months is an appropriate time frame for staff to transition over and be trained up in the new facility. But I've seen expected workforce plans for two different sized hospital expansions, and running through the slides, you can see it generally takes 3 to 5 years to plan, fund and recruit into any service expansion. And from what we're aware of, this doesn't exist for any of the services in the National Children's Hospital. Let's take a listen now to Minister Donnelly's response to Barry's questions on staffing.
In terms of engagement with the clinicians and the move across, it's a question for Children's Health Ireland. They're tasked with the commissioning. The commissioning includes understanding what the workforce looks like when you go in, building up to that in the meantime, which is what they're doing. We've been investing very significantly in CHI and in increasing their workforce, and they will be engaged with, I have no doubt, in terms of the transition. There's going to be a lot of training required. For example, the Children's Hospital is going to be the first fully digital hospital in the country. And whenever you fully digitise, when you come from what we have today to digitisation, actually there's a lot of training, and sometimes it can be quite frustrating for the frontline workers because it can require changes to how they work. So there will be a significant amount of training involved. It would be preferable if they had communications, but of course I haven't spoken to them. I haven't heard what they've said.
How long will that training take? Because again, the staff I've spoken to say they don't know. Could it be 6 months, 12 months? They don't know.
It's a matter for CHI in terms of the commissioning, the kind of detailed operational question.
But with that training in mind, is it fair to say it's going to be a significant while before this new children's hospital is open and operational?
Well, the commitment we have is that the commissioning is a six-month process. So from when we take over the hospital from the main contractor, there's a six-month commissioning process. That's when I would imagine a lot of the staff will be brought in, will be familiarised and will go through that transitional period. I have no indication that more than 6 months is being sought, and certainly I wouldn't expect it to take more than 6 months.
No, that's in spite of the information you have from looking at other hospitals. 3 to 5 years before you get up to full speed.
This is it.
And they're expecting to do it in 6 months and they haven't engaged with the staff yet. He said, I wish they had engaged CHI, but they haven't with the staff. All right. So did you speak to anyone not connected with healthcare, someone who looked at this whole thing from a business perspective?
I did, Pat, but just to briefly touch off some more issues staff want to highlight. First off, accommodation. Where are these thousands of nurses meant to live near the area? Now, there was speculation that Crumlin could be used to house some workers, but that idea seems to be off the table again now. Earlier this month, the Department of Health said sites at Crumlin and Connolly hospitals have been identified as the most appropriate for elective hospitals in Dublin. But then there are also concerns being raised around parking. There are around 1,000 underground spaces, but 675 are for families. And it doesn't take a mathematician to work out that will leave 325 spaces allocated to staff count of around 5,000 people.
They're all supposed to go by Lewis.
This is it. Yeah, public transport. So, look, it's not just the workforce plans that are frustrating those who will be working there. They want to know what their future will look like. If you're coming up from the country, there's nurses already that are travelling up from Galway. To get an insight from someone who studies the pre-planning stages of developments and assesses the preparation that goes into projects, I travelled out to DCU and met with Dr. Paul Davis, who's an associate professor working in the field of procurement and supply chain management. Dr. Davis served on the advisory board to the National Procurement Service and has been monitoring the development of the National Children's Hospital. He says this lack of detail is worrying.
We've got a plan for a transition period. So as we build up the capacity of both people who we need to train, people who need to use new equipment, and also maintain the current service levels, we have to think about, well, how are we going to do that? What's that transition phase? And is that transition phase going to be something that we can do over a 3 month, 6 month, 12 month, or maybe more likely 3 to 5 year period? And at the moment, I don't see anything written about that, about how we're going to deal with it.
Just on the time period, what do you think would be a sufficient preparation, lead-in time to bring different teams under the one roof?
You probably hear me laughing slightly in the background. And the problem that I have here is that we've had probably 6 to 8 years to plan this. And we're now in discussion as we get close to where we have a government opening in 2025. Now we're having the conversation. That's wrong. This should have been planned 2-3 years ago, and we should have had a transition phase of between 2, 3 and 5 years.
Certain positions, certain teams, certain methods and structures, it takes time to deliver.
It takes time for different cultures to interact. We're bringing three hospitals together. We're bringing them three different cultures coming together, three different sets of management structures. We've done this already with Talla Hospital, and it was between the years of 96-98 right the way to 2005, almost 7 years before we were starting to get structures that were recognised. You would have thought that we would have learned from that, but we don't seem to have learned from that. We seem to be adopting the same approach of let's try bring these three groups of people together, try get them working together without any major transitional plan to figure out how we're going to do that and what's required to do that. Here we are asking frontline workers in one of the most, how would I put it, delicate areas dealing with children to try plan on how they're going to work together without any plans being presented to them. That's a recipe for disaster.
When do you see this hospital opening? Do you see it opening for the expected time date?
No, I think originally when we looked at this, we knew there was going to be a delay on it. And I had said originally when they said 2025, I said it would probably be the first children you might see being treated in here would be in 2026. I think that's realistic.
2026 is realistic. Well, maybe that is encouragement, given that the minister says you can do it all in 6 months and it could take 2 to 3 to 5 to 7 to more years to do something. Anyway, that was Assistant Professor of Management in DCU Business School, Dr. Paul Davis. There are concerns, which he mentioned, about bringing the different cultures together under one roof and the time that is needed for that to be fleshed out.
Of course. And look, if we were to be told any information, I'm sure we would probably get a response that all the teams operate under the one umbrella as it is and they have similar structures in place. But Dr. Paul Davis mentioned what happened with Talla Hospital when hospitals merged there. Well, in 2012, HICWA did release a report which found that the amalgamated organisation into which three separate hospitals were merged in 1996 continued to embrace a number of different legacy beliefs, activities and cultures, and this failed to adequately respond to significant changes in healthcare delivery. So the question is, like, are we repeating mistakes of the past by not giving more time for staff to move over and train together and learn from each other? I asked HICWA, do they have concerns that similar issues could arise at the new hospital? And I was told, as the independent statutory review includes matters relating to governance and oversight, it cannot comment any further.
So nobody wants to tell us anything?
Well, the pack is ongoing as we speak, so maybe we'll get some more answers there.
There'll be more reaction, I'm sure, to the news of a further delay in the Children's Hospital, not going to be handed over in October. Not opened, by the way, in October. Just handed over for the fit-out and then the training. And that's not going to happen until sometime next year. They say February. Who knows? And after that, how many months, years before the whole transition is complete? And where are they going to live and where are they going to park? I do not know. It was mad to put it there in the first place, and they know it now, but they dare not admit it. They cannot admit we made a terrible mistake. Josh, thank you very much for joining us. We're talking a lot about money, billions and so on. Well, we've got money for you if you want it.
Your chance to win big. News Talk's Cash Machine.
Ashlyn Grimes was our winner yesterday with over 30 grand, so we've reloaded the machine. It now contains the handsome sum of €40,317.88. To enter, text PLAY to 57557 before 3 this afternoon. Then after 3, randomly, we'll make the call. If it happens to be to your phone, answer within 5 rings, tell us the total, and then you will get the money. The cost is €2.50 plus your standard message rate, over 18s only. You're playing across the Go Loud network of stations. Full terms on newstalk.com. But remember today's total. It's €40,317.88. Text PLAY to 57557. Now, lots of comments coming in at the Children's Hospital. A perfect example, if one were needed, of Irish bureaucracy, Irish politicians and civil servants showing just how utterly inept and incompetent they are. Of course, nobody cares, as it's only Irish taxpayers' money paying for this fiasco. An underground car park in a hospital? What moronic genius came up with this? What happens when an EV goes on fire? Hospital closure or evacuation? We've talked about this on the programme too. We alerted them to that fact. And we hope to get detail from the people who'll be operating the car park as to what contingency plans they have for a lithium-ion battery fire. We hope it'll never happen, because they happen very rarely. But if one does, what are they going to do? I hope that in the Children's Hospital everything is computerised. Recently, on a visit to Waterford Hospital, the number of times I saw staff going back and forth with trolleys of files was frequent. It makes me wonder. That's from Eileen in Wexford. And we've loads more comments on this, which I'll bring you in a little while. Still to come.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.